Mr. Jeff Merrick. Hey, Merrick.
Yep. Hello. Hello, Dean. Hello, George. Hello, fellas. What's going on today? It's Austin Matthews Day, I'm assuming, around the city.
Is it, or was it Friday? Was that Friday?
Well, that was a really weird energy in that building. You know,
there Stelic was on with us before, and you could see it. It was fairly anticlimactic because he knew it was going to happen. It was almost like waiting for, as he put it, a coronation of sorts as opposed to a pick.
Yeah, I was listening to Gordon. He nailed it. It was a coronation more than anything else. But it was a weird mix of, there were plenty of Maple Leafs fans. They're like, I've never seen that many Maple Leafs jerseys at a draft before, obviously, because Maple Leafs were picking number one. And, of course, a healthy mix of Buffalo Sabres fans or season ticket holders had first shot at getting tickets for this thing. And there probably were only in the neighborhood of, what, Dean, about 7,000 tickets that were available for fans. I mean, it was all, you know, friends and it was family, all the, you know, the draftees' families and all that, making up the majority of the first Niagara. But when the Maple Leafs went up to pick, initially there was this euphoria from these Maple Leafs fans that had this built-up frustration going back to the beginning of last season, as this was the plan all along, which then got drowned out by Buffalo Sabres fans as the QEW rivalry is once again on. It's Nylander versus Nylander. It's Bylsma versus Babcock. Yep. It's Austin Matthews now versus Jack Eichel. Started to drown out the Maple Leafs fans. And it is, in a lot of ways, this sort of harbinger of what's to come in this rivalry between the Buffalo Sabres and the Toronto Maple Leafs, the likes of which, geez, Dean, we haven't seen in decades.
Yeah, and there's hope here for the first time in a long time, and I believe there's hope there for the first time in a long time, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's almost like you're not just doing it because you're a homer or this is your team or you're a lifelong Leaf or Sabres fan. It's like, hey, this is on, and it has the opportunity to be on for a very long period of time.
Yeah, it's great. Two wonderful teams, two teams that are being built through the draft, supplemented by free agency. Speaking of which, we fully expect both the Maple Leafs and the Buffalo Sabres, Tim Murray saying as much, to both be in the Steven Stamkos sweepstakes. And I guess Stamkos is now allowed to start discussing his career plans in the future with other NHL teams starting today.
Jeff, we all know the number one pick, Austin Matthews, but kind of a surprise here and there of what the Maple Leafs did the rest of the draft, especially in the second round. Can you enlighten us why they went where they did in the second round?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that, because if you look at the strategy this year by the Toronto Maple Leafs, I mean, every year we talk about, you know, players that go through the draft and then turn out to be, you know, late bloomers. Guys, you know, slip through the draft, you know, never drafted, signed by a team, and then pick up their NHL careers. If you have a look at what the Maple Leafs did with five players specifically, Yegor Korshkov is one, Brooks, Bobilov, Walker, Shabikin. These are all players that have gone through the draft. And in Korshkov, Brooks, and Walker's case, guys that have gone through the draft twice. So there was this real sort of uncovering of prospects that were late bloomers that the Maple Leafs went through, where a lot of teams will look at the draft and say, well, you know what, if he doesn't get selected as an 18-year-old, you know, the development curve is off, and don't bother with him, look the other way. The Maple Leafs this year looked like, after Austin Matthews said, you know what, screw that, we're taking the players that are best available in the draft right now, even if they've gone through the draft a couple of times. And we saw it early with Yegor Korshkov, the big Russian winger, good size, good hands, really good for a possession style game, as scouts have told me, because I've never seen the kid play. They had a really interesting take on it this year. And as we saw as well, George, while last year the Maple Leafs drafted small skilled hockey players, this year they went to the land of giants. These are all large young men that the Maple Leafs took this season.
Jeff Merrick, our guest, host of the NHL and the CHL and Sportsnet. You covered the draft, did a terrific job hosting everything this weekend, kept everything in perspective and explained it all very, very well. So explain this to me. As you mentioned, this is UFA time, where people get to open up, you know, their teams get to open up their trench coats and show players what they got inside. and I think what we're seeing now, you know, it's unlike anything I've experienced. When you're a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs and you're in this city and everything is Toronto centric, there's a real distinct possibility that if you look at things from a real common sense perspective, you know, Detroit's window of opportunity is quickly closing, despite clearing room by getting rid of Datsyuk's contract on the weekend and sending that over to Phoenix so they can get to the floor. And then you look at Buffalo. Buffalo's still Buffalo. And Toronto is for the first time, maybe in a long time, very attractive to guys like one Steven Stamkos.
Yep, certainly is. And, I mean, we've been hearing that one. I mean, even going back a couple of seasons as well, the Steven Stamkos want to come home and play with the hometown Toronto Maple Leafs. But if you're Steven Stamkos, I mean, you have a look at the teams that'll be lining up for him. And now by clearing out Pavel Datsyuk, the Detroit Red Wings will be in that mix. They can afford to pay $10 million, to a free agent after getting out from underneath the weight of that $7.5 million for Pavel Datsyuk. I expect the Montreal Canadiens to be in that mix. We expect the Buffalo Sabres to be in that mix. It wouldn't surprise me if the New York Islanders were in that mix, and maybe some surprise teams out there that we haven't even heard of. And the interesting thing about this one, too, not since Zdeno Chara have we seen an unrestricted free agent hit the market at a relatively young age, a player that's still in his prime. I mean, this isn't everybody lining up outside Brad Richards, you know, agent's office for a player who's in the back nine of his career but probably had a couple of more really good seasons for him. This is someone that's still in that sweet spot of 26 years old. That's what makes Steven Stamkos certainly more most attractive. And if you're a Maple Leafs fan, this could be, back-to-back home runs by the organization. Matthews 1 week and then Steven Stamkos the next. So I guess we'll see what happens come Friday on free agent day.
Explain something to me. What are the Leafs, or any other team for that matter, but in our situation, because we're here, what are the Toronto Maple Leafs saying to Steven Stamkos? What are they doing? Take us through this courtship process prior to the actual free agency window being open.
First thing is get rid of the money. Let's get the money talk over really quick. Let's agree on the price point. His representation will have a number in mind. And if you don't hit that number, there's no point in even having the rest of the conversation. So that's the first thing they'll have. Then you'll talk about what else the organization can do for you. You'll talk about the city. I mean, the minute a salary cap came in, Dean, all of a sudden players just didn't make decisions based on the number. It became, you know, the number plus, you know, my lifestyle, my family, where can we settle? What are the places we can live? What can the city afford me? Taxation is a huge one as well. That's always worked against teams like the Montreal Canadiens, and even though the taxation rate is still high, it doesn't seem to be a factor for players that want to go play in with the New York Rangers. So those will be some of the things that they'll look at. They'll have an entire package laid out for Steven Stamkos, all the teams will, of what A, the team can do for them, and B, what the city can do for them as well.
Is that number $10 million for sure, Jeff? Is that what we can safe to say, or is it $11 million? Is it $12 million?
That's a great
question. Or is it $1 billion?
It feels like it.
It's a good question, George, because you know some teams who may not have the entire complete portfolio to present Steven Stamkos. Other teams will say, look, we'll just outbid everybody else. We have the cap room. We have a rich owner. We'll just offer you more money. You know, you say to them, whatever Toronto/Buffalo is offering you, put another $500,000 on it, and that's going to be our offer. But I think if you're Steven Stamkos, once you hit a certain number, and, you know, as Monty Burns and The Simpsons once said, I'd give it all up for just a little bit more. We all understand that. But at a certain point, when you hit that number, then I think the portfolio becomes more than just an extra $500,000.
And I think the number, too, for a guy like him, the number's important because he wants to be in certain company. But I don't think it's the spendable dollars that he gives a crap about, right? I mean, you know, you're looking at a guy who is going to be what he's top five in salary, maybe between top 10, top five. And hey, listen, the injury might play a part in this whole thing too, right?
It might, and you're right. He's going to be in Patrick Kane, Jonathan Taves territory. You know, and the one thing too, and this has always fueled coaches. This has fueled some players as well. It's a story that's well told. If you do it in Toronto, you cement your legacy.
Yeah.
Like if you can be part of a team that turns this franchise around and turns it into a playoff team / you know, Stanley Cup contender. I mean, go back and look at that 1967 team and look at how many players are in the Hockey Hall of Fame. They're all in the Hockey Hall of Fame. It's hockey's biggest stage, and if you do it in Toronto, rightly or wrongly, if you do it in Toronto, it's more impressive than doing it in a smaller market, and that turns heads, and that cements legacy. And make no mistake about it, For these guys, money is a huge thing. And when you get to the ultra elite level, legacy is an enormous thing too. Stanley Cup championships, being part of successful teams. Just ask Joe Thornton what that is all about.
Oh, and how about this? You know, and I've said this before, but other people think I'm an idiot, which goes without saying for many other reasons. But, you know, we just watched one LeBron James bring a championship to his hometown after 52 years.
It's a great point.
Promising he'd do it. And I wonder if that gets lost on a guy like Steve Stamkos, where he goes, my God, obviously a different echelon of player. He's not the best player in the universe by a long shot, but he's one of the best players in the NHL and will be for some time. If he can do that, and watching people climb up the side of buildings, and as you say, cementing your legacy, that is the ultimate golden, the golden horseshoe, if you will, is this where you live. It's where you grew up. This is home. You bring something home, you're something else for a very long time.
Yeah, that's it. You cement it. Now, I don't think he's as arrogant as LeBron for a second. I don't think he would guarantee a championship should he go to Toronto. But nonetheless, you're right, Dean. If you do it in Toronto, I mean, how many coaches have said this? How many general managers have said this? Yeah. And how many players have said this? You know, and here's the interesting thing too. And this is where you really have to credit someone like Dion Phaneuf. There aren't a lot of players that are willing to embrace the stress that comes along with being a Toronto Maple Leaf. Dion Phaneuf always did. Like him or not like him, love him or hate him, I understand that. He has detractors, and he does have people that liked his game. But the one thing you can never knock Dion Phaneuf for is he embraced what it was to be the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs, to be the center point, to take those bullets in order to help make that team better. And it's a unique player that's able to do that. And I think Steven Stamkos is probably one of those guys as well.
Jeff, real quick, got about 30 seconds. Is there a number that's too much to pay per year against the cap for Steven Stamkos?
Well, what's the cap max? I mean, I guess it depends on how much cap space you have, what the max is, and where you're at on your winning cycle. Where it's important for the Maple Leafs and someone like Steven Stamkos, and I keep reiterating this, if you have a young team, you need players that can play in the lineup at the elite level that can show these kids how to be professionals. And when you look at the UFA market, the name I keep and many others keep coming back to that can do that is Steven Stamkos.
Hey, who's the captain in Detroit? Zetterberg? Is he the captain?
Who is it right now? Yeah, Henrik Zetterberg. Sorry.
Who's the captain in Buffalo? Ryan O'Reilly?
Ryan O'Reilly, one. Yes.
Oh, is he?
No, they do.
Yeah, that's right.
It's O'Reilly, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Who's the captain in Toronto?
Available. Steven Stamkos?
Available, yeah. Hey, Jeff, appreciate you doing this, man.
Yeah, no problem, guys. It was a fascinating weekend.